Yvonne talks about this. I know that the cyberpsychic attack, or as you call it, psychic greeting, is something that many, even enlightened people, shun away from. At least this is true in my country, Sweden. Fear has gotten its claws into this country, and since there is also a spiritual drought among the people, the so-called New Age movement is thriving. The problem with the New Age movement of this country, apart from a lot of false prophets, is that as it teaches about love and light, it won't touch the dark side. In far, I've met a lot of New Age people who seriously think, 77, Chapter 3, Age and Bite of Inwit, Persistence of Pain, that the dark and evil doesn't exist, it's only in your head, and if it's in your head, who are you? As you know, there are many levels to this, many different ways of looking at it. In one way, yes, you can say that evil doesn't exist, because if you raise yourself above the astral plane, you don't have to bother with fear and evil. But how many of us down here on earth have really gotten to that point? ? 27 Not I, at any rate. The view of the loyal opposition needs to be balanced, to see that service to self entities are of a certain kind, and service to others entities make certain choices, and these choices have rhyme and reason. Service to self tries to control and manipulate. Service to others releases, surrenders, allows and cooperates. Where we see psychic greeting, then, ask ourselves not to counter-interfere, but instead to deal with the greeting, with the mind that analyzes, with the intuition that makes hidden kaions, with the spirit that goes about this prayerfully, and with an eye to holy things. All these seeming attackers are portions of ourselves. In a profound and helpful sense, we may model psychic greeting as an attack on the self by a portion of the self. That portion is part of our dark side or shadow, to use a Jungian term, and it needs to be loved, accepted and reintegrated into the daylight self to create the universal and whole self. Some wanderers share their experiences. I have had negative entities attack me. I'm cut off from the Creator. I don't know what to do. I'm going to keep trying to convince myself that it's okay and safe to love the world, but it's just not going to happen overnight. It's going to take time. But in the meantime, there really is no safe place. 28 I was sitting there as usual, taking notes, listening to the drone of the professor, when suddenly out of the blue or black, this huge cylinder came down over me. When this thing came over me, the noise and talk of the professor became muffled, like something had placed a vacuum over me. Well, I looked around to see if anyone else could see this tube or vacuum cylinder over me, and no one else was doing anything different, etc. I felt, then, the same way you do when you are going to pass out, almost. I guess the air might have been changed around me too. Then I started the prayer, and sending out of the light and energy. This did the trick. It broke the cylinder or whatever it was, and things returned to normal. The negative forces or dark mass consciousness around our earth does exist, and will do whatever it or they can to stop light work if it or they can. 29, 78, Chapter 3, Age and Bite of Inwit, Persistence of Pain. Psychic greeting can take place within dreams as well as during conscious awareness. The typical time for such nightmarish dreams is the deep of night, at 3 or 4 in the morning. Initiation can bring about the same situation, of awakening in the night feeling attacked and hag-ridden. Most of the time, such no-urnal experiences are signs of initiation, not psychic greeting. When this occurs in our experience, we can deal with it the same way, whether it is psychic greeting or part of an initiatory experience. Prayers and affirmations of thankfulness and praise for all blessings received calm and center the mind. For more detailed information on how to deal with psychic greetings, I recommend Ian Fortune's book, Psychic Self-Defense, usually available in paperback in bookstores. Here is a psychic greeting dream that Mary reports, the most frightening dream I ever had and the most difficult to think and write about even now, concerns the most powerful battle I have ever had and never want to have again. In the dream I was riding my bicycle, having been to a house on the northwest side of town, and was headed home. I was aware of a couple of men on bicycles who seemed to be following me. One was of average intelligence and the other seemed to have something wrong with him mentally. I stopped at a store and when I came out my bicycle was gone. I began to walk and came to a combination laundromat and eating place. I went inside and got something to eat. When I came out the bicycle was there, so I got on and started for home again. The men had disappeared. Suddenly I could feel myself changing. Then a rather mean voice began saying something about going somewhere else. It dawned on me that this voice was inside me. I asked who this voice was, rather low because I didn't want other people standing close by to hear me seemingly talking to myself. The voice kept jabbering about going somewhere else. I knew I had to get rid of it and told it to get out of me. It refused. As I was arguing with it, I found myself at the 3rd Street and 8th Avenue stoplight. The bicycle had disappeared again and I was now yelling at the voice to get out of me. Finally, it began to get weaker and started to leave. The light turned green. The cars stopped and as I began to cross the street, I found myself in a heap on the pavement. A woman came running to help me. The voice was mercifully gone. I feel I was given a spiritual choice to make in this dream. Had I made a different choice, I probably wouldn't be here writing this now. 30. Notice the depth of emotions as Mary attempted to convey the horror of the dream. Often these experiences are very sublime. They don't necessarily sound scary as one talks about them rationally. It is the depth of terror. 79. Chapter 3, Age and Bite of Inuit. Persistence of pain and other dark emotions that mark such dreams. In any event, the key to dealing with psychic greeting is focusing upon the unity of the self with all that there is, including the entity who is attempting to attack, and moving into love and compassion. Yuo says, when one is attacked it is natural to defend, and yet in the sense of psychic greeting the defense creates the prolongation of attack. 31. This advice, I believe, is meant in the same wise as Jesus' admonition to resist not evil. It is important for the entity upon the path of service to others to attempt to see the Creator within all beings at all times, to give praise and thanksgiving for the light of the Creator that exists in all, to seek and know that Creator in each, to offer within the meditative state, the heartfelt love for all who send greetings or attacks, and to surround the self, then, in that love and light of the infinite Creator. 32. A word about initiation. Like many terms related to the inner life and spiritual seeking, initiation is a fuzzy word. I am willing to leave the fuzz on it, rather than attempting to define more accurately those times of testing and trial that we receive as gifts from the Spirit. Initiation occurs at a point when much has been learned. The catalyst has been taken and the responses have been those which attempt to polarize, to make some progress as a seeker of truth who knows herself. The learning wants to spiral ahead, and we feel ready. At that crux, there will often be a time of real inner challenge, complete with scary nightmares, odd visions, interrupted sleep and general spiritual malaise. I believe these are times when the spiritual part of self needs to be sure the previous learning has been well seated. Consequently, the way to proceed is to deal with the experiences straightforwardly and continue to live the life we believe in. Uniteness of nature and a faith-filled heart will serve. Despair alienation can become despair when time cycles long enough, bringing nothing but seeming pain. I looked at me looking at me in a faded, antique mirror, glanced accidentally to the left, saw myself out of the side of my eyes. 80. Chapter 3, Age and Bite of Inuit. Persistence of pain and old. Red-haired lady looking lethargically down the next row of things and stuff in the gray Seattle afternoon, not hopeful, not quite bored, just dead inside that place where the dreams used to live. 33. Those of you who attempt to speak to this despair, may each wanderer find comfort in the knowledge that it cannot help contributing positively to the planetary vibration. Even with what seems to be gross mismanagement of time and energy, yet still in that very basic alienated mindset that dwells that vibration which is fuller with light. This very alienation is simply a surface symptom of a deep and spiritual gift. Comfort yourself when the heart is heavy and the feelings bruised with the knowledge that you are being of service. You are doing that which you came to do. You may find ways to do it better, but you are not failing no matter what it seems like. 34001, a gentleman of exceedingly keen sensitivity with a long history of being on the outside looking in, despite impressive professional achievements, tries to express how he changes despair to loving sacrifice. I think that we are all more or less aware of the sacrificial aspects of our lives, and desire to make both the offering and the recipient accord with our highest ideals. 35 Taking all thoughts of elitism out, one can well frame the path of the wanderer as a sacrificial one. For we wanderers are here, once we awaken, to offer up the remainder of our entire incarnation. We are learning much as we move through it, and hopefully we are gaining polarity as we live a life in faith, but the entire bogey of living on earth is an offering of self. However, many wanderers have been so beaten by these earth vibrations that they take an aloof point of view to assuage the pain of being here. I was always striving to find some kind of homeostasis, acceptance, or peace of mind from the incessant restlessness, but never really found it for any sustained period. The spells of cosmic consciousness in 1943 and 1967 being the obvious exception. These periods lasted for weeks. They were characterized by feelings of expansiveness, joy, of identification with the universe, a pervading oneness and unity that I have been struggling to regain ever since, but without much success. 36.81 Chapter 3, Age and Bite of Inuit, Persistence of Pain. I am, at this point in time, space, a somewhat lonely and lost individual, although in the past I have had other experiences. I do not feel alien from this planet. In far, I feel deeply for the beauty of this earth, and have an abiding love for all of the creatures of nature. Yet I feel removed from the people of this earth. 37 Those of you who say, these, wanderers, have within them the distant and dimly lit memory of their origin as being from elsewhere, and in many cases this feeling is in the form of what you may call a kind of homesickness or alienation from the planetary influences and vibrations that are of more disharmonious nature within this third density influence. However, each entity in the heart of its being is aware that, though there is a home that may be located elsewhere, the true home of all seekers of light and servants of the one Creator is within that service and within that light that comes from only one source, the one Creator, and each may take solace in knowing that the Creator resides within each entity and shines the light of love and service to all equally. 38. Inside the bell jar, the wanderer's isolation is not exactly that of a person stranded in the desert. It is more as though we were inside a bell jar normal people do not even see, which if heavily muffles communication and sometimes shuts it out entirely. At least that is the feeling we get. Finding out that you're some alien soul from another planet doesn't make things any better than before, really. Sure, it puts certain things to rest because they've been resolved. But it causes more problems than it seems to be worth. I know that when I found that I fit in perfectly with the signs that distinguish a wanderer, I felt more left out and isolated than ever for a long while. I had a lot of sad nights when I'd cry myself to sleep with the thought that I didn't belong anywhere. But it'll be the death of you if you keep putting yourself down. Being a wanderer means that you have to hope and trust yourself. 39 Those of you who talk about this isolation, what is this knotting that indicates that the shuttle of spirit is not in good working order? The simplest term is fear. The spiritually ill entity has moved into an isolation, a place alone within which the entity is. 82, Chapter 3, Age and Bite of Inuit, Persistence of Pain. Unforgiven, and unnurtured. This isolation is crushing and, once entered, is very difficult to see, much less to work with. 40 Fear feeds upon itself in untended isolation. As Blur says, what I find is that my thoughts have a tendency to run wild in periods of extended loneliness, but to quiet them down, I repeat the serenity prayer, especially if they start going negative. And, if you really look around, you aren't lonely. There are people everywhere, and you can find the ones you can relate to. I have also been known to, in periods of sadness, climb a tree, and talk to it. Most times, the tree will really listen, and nature feeds off your negative energy anyway, So in a sense, to do so when you're not feeling so hot is a gift from you to nature, and nature will give back, if you allow yourself to feel it. 41. I love blues attitude, and am a tree person myself, with a long history of perceiving trees as intelligent and loving beings, the Ents of Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. When I was a toddler, I used to run around the yard hugging and talking to trees, so the family legend has it. Those of you who talk about this feeling of isolation, each entity walks alone, and this feeling of isolation is a tremendous source of suffering among your peoples. And yet when an entity stops looking for his feet and simply moves ahead, step by step, an unusual and unpredicted thing occurs, and that is that the steps of one who has stopped trying to seek her islands are more assured and livelier than those who are pressing with urgency against that envelope of blindness that surrounds the metaphysical self. 42. Those as yet unawakened will be using their catalyst, their incoming sensations, as the outer world values and prioritizes things. The wanderer is using the same experiences but from a metaphysical agenda. Those of Hatton put it another way, it might be said that each individual lives within a vacuum, that each isolates himself or herself from the other selves that surround him, and in fear and misunderstanding of the isolation that has been created, each, as in a vacuum, contrives into himself, as if unable to conjure the energy with which to expand outward and establish a reunion with those among whom one lives. My friends, we are aware of the exhaustion that is characteristic of those who strive to overcome this spiritual vacuum. It is a great struggle to constantly extend oneself, holding oneself open and extended, so to speak, in one's attempt to establish. 83, Chapter 3, Age and Bite of Inwit, Persistence of Pain and Maintain Contour with those other selves that compose the single unit that your race has the potential of becoming. 43. Some wanderers really prefer the solitude. Throughout my life, accompanying the strong feeling of alienation was a powerful inner need to seek solitude. I have spent much of my life alone. I was the kid who sat at back, daydreaming, reading, not participating, hiding, dreading to be called upon for anything. Even during the years of family life, I spent much of the time alone, working on postgraduate papers, jogging alone, walking endless miles. So, for me, two dominating themes appear to have been working in me despite the outward levities and interests: a deep-seated feeling of alienation and a need for solitude, a need to co with the universe outside human habitation. 44. Despite this oddly comforting thought, many wanderers feel very alone, very often. However, some wanderers write of realizing that they truly are no longer alone. You may begin to feel isolated and alone because you have no one with whom to communicate with on the level of your new reality. For this reason, I encourage you to find a like-minded forum, group or individual with which you can associate and communicate to avoid this unnecessary and uncomfortable situation. If you have access to the internet, finding such a group is fairly easy. If not, finding a group or individual and communicating on a regular basis can be more difficult, but is necessary in my opinion. 45. Networking and co-ing with others is very important. In meeting you, I finally feel as though I'm not alone, being surrounded in day-to-day life by those who just wouldn't understand any of this. I am very fortunate for the internet and email carrions. There are many that are not so fortunate to be hooked into the net. I know how I've felt all these years. It would have been most wonderful to pick up a newsletter or something and realize that years ago! 46. There is a tremendous desire on the part of many wanderers to meet others of like mind. I talk with them every day. These days, meeting others of like mind is easy to do because of the resources on the internet. I have promised the sources quoted in this handbook that if I receive mail for them from readers responding to their words, I will make sure they receive it. 84, Chapter 3, Age and Bite of Inwit, Persistence of Pain is, of course, for them to decide whether to answer. If you wish to write someone quoted herein, please send the letter to me. My email address is carlo@research.org. Our postal address is L.L. Research, Box 5195, Louisville, Kentucky, 40255-0195. I have seen good friendships start on the internet, and certainly have met hundreds of fascinating people that way through the years. If you are lonely and feeling blue, by all means, start with a website such as ours, www.lesearch.org, and follow the links. You will find interesting and varied company. Spiritual exhaustion. The end item of this laundry list of wanderers' woes is exhaustion of spirit. This occurs when the wanderer comes to the end of his energies. Usually, the physical energy is the first to go, if it ever was there at all. The vital energy can endure for a long time on short rations, but it, too, can give out. Then the wanderer is really weary beyond any description of tiredness. Those of you who say, when the kind of weariness that a seeker feels is spiritual in nature, it often signifies a time in which the experience of incarnative life will seem very difficult. Small matters seem to take on a larger asp, and therefore any small change or unexpired occurrence triggers catalyst far in excess of what the seeker would usually exp of itself. It is a condition of vulnerability because weariness sensitizes the perceptive web, which alters the level of information given to the physical mind and to the consciousness within. Small efforts seem to become major. The mind turns from tasks that normally are accomplished easily, for it sees these tasks with the jaundiced eye and the discontented heart of the weary seeker. The sense of self is disturbed and the level of comfort of mind drops. 47 Uncomfortable wanderers agree, I have the feeling like I am walking around with a big hole in my body. I am fighting a lot with sadness, exhaustion, panic and anger. 48 I want to know how to cope with being a candle flame, up against the light of so many stars, yet remaining into and being myself. 49 85 Chapter 3, Age and Bite of Inwit, Persistence of Pain. I have this strange depletion which is not like ordinary fatigue. It feels like it's a kind of vital energy that's leaked out. 50 Those of you who offer, it is well to do nothing until some insight into the fears and other emotions concerning this choice have become part of self-knowledge that can be first gazed carefully at and then surrendered. As long as any portion of the seeker is withheld from the inner surrender, there will be that proportion of things occurring with extra bumps and fits and starts. Thusly, if one were able, it could be said that the best way to make decisions is to wait and continue doing that which you are doing, while opening the self regularly and repeatedly in simple offering of thanks and praise and the desire to be sent forth, to allow light to shine through you. As you ask for this light to shine through, you begin to have the feeling that any road is good as long as this light is shining through you. As there is no exhaustion of spirit as long as the heart lies open, and the incoming undistorted light is then able to move through the transparent personality and out into the waiting and thirsty world. You yourself are thirsty for the light, yet that thirst in itself is a beginning of the deepest service. 51 Remembering who we are and why we are here helps also. Those of say, you oh, this is where your power lies, in the momentary decision to seek the love in the moment. As those known as Ra have said, where is the love in this moment? Is a helpful question at any junior, but especially when the spirit is weary or overwrought. 52 And Pupak agrees, O God, please grant me mindfulness and wisdom. This is my constant prayer. 53 Those of Shin, Yuo point out another way to deal with spiritually based exhaust. If you are too weary to move on, if that is the sense that you get at this point, then we say to you, lighten the load. Remove expiations from your own self and allow yourself to play, to be as the daisies that dance upon the wind, carefree and blameless. You do not have to learn today. You do not have to work today. You have to do only that which is in your heart to do. 54, 86, Chapter 3, Age and Bite of Inwit, Persistence of Pain. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33. Linda Kletcher, letter dated August 21, 1998. Heike Malaska, letter dated February 25, 1999. L. Letter dated April 22, 1999. Pupak Hagayi, letter dated June 12, 1998. Mike Korinko, letter dated February 21, 1995. Mark Morgan, letter dated September 7, 1999. Duo, transcript dated August 16, 1992, p. 6. Idem, transcript dated June 14, 1992, p. 3. Idem, transcript dated October 14, 1992, p. 6. Idem, transcript dated October 22, 1989, p. 8. 131, letter dated February 14, 1998. Duo, transcript dated March 1, 1998, p. 4. Idem, October 16, 1994, pages 1 to 2. Idem, transcript dated March 25, 1990, p. 8. Latwii, transcript dated February 20, 1983, p. 7. Gypsy, letter dated October 6, 1997. Duo, transcript dated March 3, 1996, p. 1. Pupak Hagayi, letter dated June 28, 1998. Mike Korinko, letter dated August 20, 1993. Latwii, transcript dated May 16, 1982, p. 13. Charlie 036. Letter dated July 31, 1999. Latwii, transcript dated May 19, 1985, pages 2-3. Duo, transcript dated January 11, 1998, p. 3. Idem, transcript dated July 16, 1989, p. 7. Jim McCarty, In the Law of One, Book V, p. 47. Ibid, p. 141. Yvonne, letter dated February 21, 1997. L, letter dated March 12, 1999. 129, letter dated May 19, 1997. Mary, letter dated May 29, 1997. Duo, transcript dated March 16, 1997, p. 5. Idem, transcript dated April 21, 1995, p. 6. Melissa, from her poem, The Stillness of Change, from her letter dated June 10, 1999. Duo, transcript dated May 22, 1994, p. 3. 34, 87, Chapter 3, Age and Bite of Inuit, Persistence of Pain 35 36 37 38 39 40 41 42 43 44 45 001, letter dated June 26, 1997. 282, letter dated July 24, 1994. 202, letter dated March 6, 1999. Duo, transcript dated May 4, 1992, p. 7. Terry A., letter dated 27 October 27, 1997. Duo, transcript dated May 29, 1994, p. 3. Blur, letter dated June 25, 1997. Duo, transcript dated November 3, 1996, p. 2. Hatton, transcript dated May 7, 1982, p. 1. 282, letter dated July 24, 1994. William D. Klug, from an online book of experiences and channeling, www.simi.kni.com/tildebklug/knowing/welcome.htm. Gypsy, letter dated October 10, 1997. Duo, transcript dated November 12, 1995, pages 1 to 2. 169, letter dated September 23, 1997. Mark II, letter dated October 18, 1999. Otto, letter dated May 1, 1999. Duo, transcript dated February 7, 1993, p. 6. Dem, transcript dated January 17, 1999, p. 4. Letter dated June 12, 1998. Duo, Transcript dated September 9, 1999, p. 3.